You're listening to Numbers by Barron's. It's Monday, August 15th. I'm Jackson Cantrell, and I'm here with the numbers you need to navigate the markets this morning. Our first number is over 90%. That's the percent of companies in the S&P 500 that have reported second quarter earnings. Those have been far from perfect, but strong enough to keep stocks rallying. Overall, companies are beating estimates. The combined earnings per share results for companies on the index has beaten expectations by 5.2%. That's about in line with the typical quarterly beat since 2016. But as you might know, earnings results are backward-looking, and there are signs that inflation plus rising interest rates are eating into consumer demand. And that's showing up in companies' guidance. As of Wednesday, 61% of companies who have issued third-quarter earnings outlooks have provided numbers below expectations. Analysts, too, have become more pessimistic on future profits. The aggregate S&P 500 earnings estimate for 2023 has dropped almost 3% since June, according to Evercore. Stocks have largely risen through the negativity, though. According to Evercore, the average stock increase the day after a company beats sales and earnings estimates has been 60% higher than the five-year average. In addition to a bigger bounce on good news, stocks are not falling as much on earnings misses. One reason for this is that stocks were already cheap. Heading into earnings, the S&P 500's forward price earnings multiple bottomed at just over 15 times in mid-June versus over 21 times at the start of the year. Going forward to the next earnings cycle, though, large gains after earnings releases are looking less likely. The S&P 500 now trades at 17 times earnings. The next number up is 71%. That's how much share prices of big banks fell during the 2008 financial crisis. Those have assets over $50 billion. During that period, shares of small banks fell 49%. Those figures are part of a review from Piper Sandler that found that in economic downturns, smaller banks fare better than their larger peers. One reason the review cited for relative outperformance is that bigger names are traded far more frequently. That means they're likely to face more selling pressure in a downturn. The review also says investors appreciate the simplicity of smaller banks' balance sheets, as well as those lenders' tendency to have higher reserve ratios. The Piper Sandler team identified 21 small banks with the potential to have their shares climb 20% or more. From that list, Barron's identified 4 banks with market caps in excess of $500 million and dividend yields greater than 3%. On the short list are Cambridge Bancorp, ticker CATC, Heritage Financial, HFWA, Luther Burbank, LBC, and Horizon Bancorp, HBNC. Our last number is $1.30. That's how much someone would earn in annual interest if they had $1,000 deposited in an average savings account. The average savings account interest rate is 0.13%, according to Bankrate. Why are banks being so stingy? They don't need the cash. In the latter part of 2020 and 2021, households and businesses found themselves flush with cash. With banks sitting on those record levels of deposits, they had more than enough capacity to lend, but demand for loans stagnated and even declined. Fast forward to now, and high inflation has started to cut into household and businesses' cash piles. That's fueled an uptick in borrowing. According to a report from Raymond James, the second quarter saw loan growth increase 4.1%. But now banks are bracing themselves for a potential recession and are tightening their lending standards. Although deposit balances are dwindling in the face of inflation, they still remain elevated from pre-pandemic levels. Therefore, banks see little incentive to raise deposit rates when they're not trying to win business from other banks. And that's Numbers by Barron's for August 15th. I'm Jackson Cantrell, and we'll be back with more numbers you need to know tomorrow. Have a great day.